Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then last time we studied about the life of David. Now, he makes me what? Lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Three, he restores my soul. I'm not going to cover them in that order for a reason you'll see in a minute, but we're going to just, that's the whole message tonight. So nobody's confused where we are you? We're going to talk about those three phrases. And we're going to talk about what they mean to us, all right? And my goal is to make it clear. Your goal is to hear it and absorb it into your life. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm going to take the first phrase here that I want to go through. You'll see why in a minute. He restores my soul. I think restoring your soul is the outgrowth of the first two. And for us to appreciate what these two are accomplishing, I just want to talk about he restores my soul first, okay? Tracking with me? So here it is. The phrase here, my soul, means literally he causes my life to return. If you get up in the morning and you feel like, I don't know what happened while I was sleeping, but it wasn't enough for me to be ready for another day. Anybody ever had that feeling before? I don't know what exactly was happening, but I'm just not ready to go. I don't know how much more I could take today. That makes us vulnerable, doesn't it? And so we should have a lot of people here in favor of having our soul restored. The word soul is used 755 times in the Old Testament. The Hebrew is nefesh, and it literally means breath, okay? Your soul, your life, your heart, your mind. It's the not, we just had a nice hug a minute ago, AJ. That was very physical. But there's a whole part of us that wasn't touching. My mind, my heart, which is the seat of my emotions, my will, okay? It's the immaterial part of you. There's a part of you that isn't physical. There's a part of you that's going to live forever with God or separated from God, okay? And so you personally have a soul. Every one of us does. And when the text says he restores my soul, he replenishes it. He causes it to return to its original state. I don't know about you guys, but I like new stuff. Anybody here ever had a new car? Yeah. There's nothing like a new car to where they started to sell spray that you could spray in a car so it smelled what? New. Like it was new. That new car smell. And I like new things. What's interesting is God likes new things. Says in Revelation that as eternity begins, God says, behold, I make all things new. And that's the problem with this world, right? Things don't shine like they used to. Things don't satisfy like they used to. Things don't deliver what they promise, all right? But this making my soul new is a pretty incredible offer. Modern life is about 1,000 different things that block or resist soul restoration. We are consumed constantly with what depletes our soul. I would be shocked if you're not underfed in terms of your soul. Even some of us who do pretty good at the table can be underfed in our souls. And food doesn't feed your soul. And substance abuse for sure doesn't feed your soul. And you're just not okay again afterwards. It might numb your soul. It might quiet the voice of conscience for a time, but the problem's still there. And now it's more glaring because of the consequences of dealing with it poorly. And so the problem is it's such a strong thing. I need a strong soul to be able to conquer that temptation. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time on here. Do we have the list? Great. I'm going to go through just quickly what depletes our soul, five things, and what restores our soul. Okay? So first of all, five things that if you're in this, doing this, experiencing this, Number one, even if you're an extrovert, who's an extrovert here? I'm an extrovert. Extroverts? Extroverts, come on, seriously? Introverts. Oh, you're all so dark, right? Chris, what are you? Introvert or extrovert? What? Introvert, yeah. But whether you're an introvert or extrovert, I think we would all agree, number one thing that depletes our soul is people. And I wrote down good people, fun people, godly people, too much of a good thing, too many meetings, too many sales calls, too many phone calls, too much public, not enough private. People deplete our souls, just too much people. Everybody have that feeling? Somebody made this joke to me. I like to say it at Christmas, but they say, what's a grandparent's favorite Christmas lights? A grandparent's favorite Christmas lights are the tail lights of their family going back to their house. And it's just because it's all great when it's coming, but afterwards, you know, I need some downtime. Here's the second thing that depletes our soul, a draining people. When I was in training for ministry, they called them VDPs, very draining people. I used to have a woman who worked in my broadcast ministry, doesn't matter who, but this was, her ringtone on my phone was American Woman. Who knows the next line? You got it. Every time the phone rang, I was just like, oh. I could go away for a 3-month sabbatical and talk to her for 10 minutes. And it was like she stuck a tap in the side of me and just turned it on full. And I'm just telling you, I was just like, oh. Just some people are very draining, true or false? But we can tend to think, well, you know, it's my mom or it's someone that I can't work around. Well, no, you need to limit enslaving relationships. A friend of mine, Henry Cloud, wrote a great book called Boundaries. And if you don't know about boundaries, just look it up online. You can read a couple articles about it without even buying the book. And boundaries is a way of relating with people, you know, this far and no further. This far. And then letting the right people inside because they can restore my soul and keeping the wrong people just at a bit of a distance because, you know, it might cost more than you're able to pay. So people, draining people. Here's another one, busyness. Just doing stuff. I got to fix my car and I got to pay the bill and I got to get over to the bank and I got to follow up on that job opportunity and I got to. And then I got to work out so I look at least as buff as Sean does. And there's a bit of a contest going on. I got to keep it going. I got to make sure I win. Whatever are the things that keep us busy, just activity alone does not restore the soul. And so did you know that in the 1970s, the average work week was 40.6 hours? By 2000, it was 50, and now, 25 years after that, it's in the high 50s, the average work week. Add to that, in the 70s, people had, outside of work and sleep, people had 26.2 hours a week of legal. By 2000, they had under 20 hours, and now people have closer to 10 hours a week of unseized, people now have about 10 hours of unseized time that something isn't demanded of them. And I've got to make this cake for tomorrow and I've got to. I said to a friend of mine this week, why am I sitting here thinking I got to do something? I don't have to do anything. And see, the problem is that for those of us who work and work hard, we tend to go at our leisure the same way. If you're a workaholic or tend to work really hard and always have to have activity going, the problem is that you don't do anything that restores your soul because you go after your leisure with the same passion you go after your work. And then by Monday, going back to work seems like a break from what you were doing all weekend. And so we have to do things in leisure that actually do restore our souls. Busyness is very dangerous. Add to that what depletes our soul. How about problems? Health concerns. I told you a couple weeks ago I had a kind of a health concern, and I just got the results back from the doctor today that I don't have to have any surgical procedure on my heart. They just have to monitor it. Yeah. So praise God for that. But that takes, if you've ever had health uncertainty, Johnny's been through a lot this year, and that really depletes your soul. A lot of your energy for living is sucked out of you through a trial or a hardship. So health concerns, Financial shortfalls, the amount of money isn't meeting the need. The need is greater than the amount of money. Some of us have lived so much from hand to mouth that we've never had a backlog of savings where I don't need to worry if I get that next job, I'll be fine either way. Because those kind of problems can deplete the soul. Irritations, I mean, I'm not even gonna make that list because I get irritated reading it. Traffic, you know, incompetence. I mean, when I'm already depleted, I have had times in my life where I didn't even want to talk to the person at the drive-thru window because I'd always just say to myself, there's a reason that's where they're working. You know, don't expect Einstein to take your burger order. Okay, he can get a better job. And I'm not criticizing anyone's job that you have. I'm just saying we shouldn't be holding people to unrealistic standards. I always remind myself of this. Think about it this way. Half of the US population has an IQ under 105. Half. Everyone doesn't have the same ability that you have to process information and to figure things out. And so to be merciful and to be kind-hearted is something that I've seen great strides in my life, especially, but it's harder if your soul's depleted, you can find yourself going off when you really shouldn't. Anybody relate to that? Okay, you don't at all? You never get upset? Put your freaking hand up. Don't leave me up here all by myself. Come on, man. Are you serious? You're not even going to just a little bit? There you go. I told him the other night, you're too loud. He said, well, I hear a hearing thing. I said, yeah, I know. I had a deaf roommate in college. You're too loud. And we laughed so hard about it. And because if you don't know how loud the noise is, you don't know. But I'm using it as an illustration of me. The fault was me. Apology. Too spent, no reserves, something getting in the way of something, and I don't know, I just thought that if you guys could listen for a minute or two about the things that deplete your soul, maybe you could tune in a little bit more to how awesome the phrase is in the 23rd Psalm, he restores my soul. Let's go through the things that restore our souls. What we're doing right now, ministry does, but I'm going to give you the list that I made here. Number one, sleep. Man, I used to take sleep for granted. Anybody ever used to take sleep for granted? You just think, yeah. Now, I remember the first time my daughter and I, 20 years ago, whatever it was, we used to go into that, what was that amazing store at the mall that had all the gadgets?
Avengers.
What?
Avengers.
No.
Sharper Image
was one of them. Anyway, we'd go into these stores that had all these fresh new things in them, and I thought it was like so amazing. But what I didn't realize was that, like I remember the first time I heard the recording of rain and crickets and whatever, and I was just like, that's supposed to help you sleep? Like noise? But I mean, it's everywhere now. We all have it on our phones and so on. But regardless of whether you need things to help you sleep or not, here's a great reference from Psalm 127:2. It is vain to rise up, it is vain to lay down and eat the bread of anxiousness, for he gives his beloved sleep. Try, instead of counting sheep, try turning over to God while you're laying there. All the things that have been burdening you. God, I just want to give that to you. I can't solve that now. God, I just want to give that to you. I can't solve that now. And pray and ask the Lord to give you sleep. Because if you can have really 7 or 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep, I know we're in very full houses, some of us, but you know, respect for people and sleeping is a big deal.
That's right.
Because it's a way that we can care for one another, and a good night's sleep restores the soul. Secondly, rest. If you've ever woken up, as I said earlier, after a full night's sleep needing more rest, picture waking up in the morning, taking a coffee, and going sitting out on the deck, you know, the places that still have a deck. And come on, man, you know that was good. That was a good one. But sitting, they have a nice place at the back too. And sitting out on the patio or the deck with a cup of coffee. Wow, this really excites me to say this next sentence. Some of you have never done what I'm going to say right now. take the Bible that's in your lap now, go out on the back deck with a cup of coffee, and read the 23rd Psalm out loud, slowly, 7 times. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get an infusion of strength that's going to surprise you if you've never done that. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've never done it, but I'm challenging you to do it and to do it this week. What else restores our soul? Reflection. Reflection is the soul gazing upon itself, stopping to look. Well, here's where we look. And I'm going to write this down. This is reflection. Okay? Number one, look back. Someone has said that the unexamined life is not worth living. And so you want to look back. What happened this week? What happened today? What happened last night in the kitchen? And that, you know, damaging interaction, maybe for both people. Look back, and then you'll probably be able to guess these. The next one is look up. And where in looking back, you become aware of something you did wrong, just ask the Lord to forgive you. And if it involves somebody else, as I just did a moment ago, when you see the person, ask them to forgive you for that. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. We all fall in many ways, right? So then look around. Who am I neglecting? Who have I hurt? Who do I need to make things right with? Who's counting on me to keep a promise that I haven't kept yet? Why am I avoiding them? Those things deplete your soul. And then lastly, this, look ahead. What should be different going forward? How can I live like a person who is healthy in their soul, not a person who's just dragging themselves step by step from one thing to another? Not at all. But like a person who really does want to draw a line in the sand and go forward. So look around. And lastly, as I said, look ahead. What lessons can I take? What's coming this week? What should I get done that's really been draining me? A good thing for you to do right now is to make a note as I'm talking, and I'll be done before too long, but make a note as I'm talking about things that have been depleting you that you need to get a handle on. All in favor of more strength? Okay, God restores our souls. God restores our souls, but he does it in keeping with setting aside some of these behaviors that we don't want, and including sleep, rest, reflection. Oh yeah, I had this diversion. Diversion, that's just fun leisure activities. Call out your favorite diversion. If I do this, I'm going to be in a great mood tomorrow. What?
Golf.
Who said golf? Nice. What else?
Mowing the grass.
Mowing the grass. Amen. Amen. Way to go, Wally. What?
Gym.
Going to the gym. Working out.
Fishing.
Fishing. Who said fishing? Let's go.
Riding my Harley.
Instead of bussing all those guys in your truck to church. We'll ride Harleys tomorrow, and Johnny can drive the guys to church. All right? Diversion. What else? Anybody else got an activity? I mean, I'm just so shocked nobody said watching TV. What?
Reading.
Sure, absolutely.
Shooting.
Yeah. Right target implied. And lastly, ministry. And I just want to say that the potential for you to bless other people in this room is staggering. You can be a help, not a hindrance. You can be a resource, not a drain. You can give of yourself. Most of these houses probably have a couple of people that are a little more draining. That's okay. You can take your turn and listen to them and learn from them. All right, that's everything on He Restores My Soul. Now I want to talk about how he does it. Two things. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Man, I'm not going to get any penmanship awards, am I? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I'm going to cover those, and then we're going to be done. So first, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The green pastures in the Hebrew language here is the tender grass. The mature, not the mature, ready for mowing grass, but the early nutrient-rich sprouts. This is what, in sheep's terms, this is as good as it gets at mealtime. The tender grass, the green grass, and a rich, lush feeding places from which the sheep never need to move. And it's the idea of being satisfied. It's a picture of God's care. And in common parlance, we use the word green pastures. It's unbelievable how many of the things we say in our culture are actually from the Bible, and this is one of them. What do we say about green pastures? Seriously? The grass is always
greener,
right? We talk about green pastures as the place where everything's good, not like over here. I've heard people say that, but I would also say, as it relates to marriage, the grass is greener where you water it.
Amen.
Okay? So, but in any event, the picture is of a place where God restores our soul. It's not a physical place, the green pastures. I want you to let God make you lie down in green pastures. And I'm telling you, green pastures are the places where God restores your soul. When you're alone. And how many of us are only alone when we're sleeping? God restores your soul when you're alone. When you're quiet, the TV isn't blaring, the phone isn't ringing, no one is calling your name. And then time. You're not thinking about other things. You're not worried about when the clock runs out. You're not about to race off to something. If you can get alone, quiet, with some time, and do what I said with Psalm 23, read it out loud 7 times, you're not going to believe the impact that that will make in your life. Now, there's one little part of this phrase that I left out, and it isn't lie down. In other words, the sheep, he keeps the sheep from running or pacing or standing or sitting. It's lie down, a posture of humility and submission. But here's the kind of the thing that stands out in the text. He makes me. That's a little surprising, isn't it? God doesn't make us do much. He doesn't make us do much. Here's something he makes us do. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Now, Timothy Keller, who wrote a book called The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, describes the time when the shepherd can no longer bear with the stubbornness of a particular sheep that keeps running away and running away. And he wants to put him in the green pastures where he'll get the nourishment that he needs, but he won't stay there. He's just inevitably curious and undisciplined and short-sighted. And so again he runs away, again he runs away. And the shepherd says, all right, no more of this. And he would take the lamb, literally, shepherds know this, and he would put his knee up on a bench or on a stump, and he would crack the front legs of the little lamb across his. The older sheep know not to run away, but the younger ones need to learn. And so the shepherd would make the sheep lie down in green pastures. Act like men houses are green pastures. There is so much available to help you get where you want to go. And if the truth were known, many of us have been made to lie down here. Many of us came here because, hands up if you came here because there was no other place to go. Maybe this was the best option, but you had to get here, right? Right? And isn't it thrilling to think that God loves you so much that he couldn't get you to stay away from what you needed to stay away from, so he made you lie down in green pastures. Say it with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I want you boys, when you're cutting the grass out here, to be thinking about that. You're doing a great job. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's just so powerful. We'll say, well, what do you have in mind? Some people here have been in the green pastures of a hospital bed. Not beautiful, but where you heard beautiful things and made a different direction. At a funeral home. Sitting in your office at work with a pink slip in your hand. Or just a profound loneliness that makes you long for relationship, even as you hide yourself from others. that loneliness, God would use that loneliness to drive you to Him so that your soul can be restored. A painful relationship. So many guys come into our ministry. So many people I've met and known, and many of the people who are listening to this teaching right now. You have a painful relationship that has been causing hurt and heartache in your life for a long time. But has it broken you? Has it driven you back to the Lord? Has it done what can be done to really make things for you as they should be? He makes me lie down in green pastures. And this is the sequence of how the soul restoration happens. First, he gets my attention. Am I making myself clear? Crystal, right? Clear. And then when we lie down in green pastures and we get some nourishment and help, this is beautiful. He leads me beside still waters. Not those raging storms that you go to sleep to. But the real restorative places are the places where the water is deep and the surface is not rippling. And you could sit on a rock for hours and figure some things out. I want to encourage the people here listening and everyone who hears this teaching, I want to encourage you to learn to talk to God. Just learn to talk to Him. And believe me when I tell you, He's really would love to have a conversation. He doesn't need a fancy prayer. He doesn't need eloquence. He's our Father. And just like a parent would never push a child away because their words were stuttering, God loves you, and He wants to give to you and bless you and strengthen you. Would you have the humility just to reach out to Him and ask? Now, there's a lot more coming in the 23rd Psalm, but look up here at me, everybody, okay? If you have faith to believe that God wants to give to you, I'm going to pray right now, and I want you to just, if you want to, and nobody else needs to be looking around. In fact, just so you can feel a little bit more private, let's all close our eyes and just bow our heads. And I'm not judging anybody, but don't do this unless you really mean it. If you want to receive from the Lord the grace that I'm telling you He wants to give, and if you have faith to say even, Peter said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, right? You don't have to have it all together. God loves you. He wants you to come as you are. And if you have faith to believe for an infusion of restoration in your soul, just turn your hands over there in your lap. Just kind of turn them over like this. And by opening your hands up to God, it's a symbol of your willingness to receive. And like I said, if you're not there yet, no problem at all. We're so glad you're here. God's bringing us all along. Now let's just begin to pray. Lord, I turn to you now, and I ask you for these men, for every man, woman, and child who is here, and for all of those who will hear this teaching. We come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, not having a righteousness of our own to qualify to speak to you, but because we have been led in the paths of righteousness for His namesake, His righteousness, not mine. Thank you, God, that our standing before you is rooted in who you are. And we turn to you now, and we ask you, God, for every person here with their hands open to you, would you fill their soul with good things? Would you give them an unusual joy just in the next few days that is transcends circumstance, is beyond anything they could have expected, and cause them to remember this prayer and deepen their sense that you, the God of the universe, hear and answer prayer for your own name's sake. Thank you, God, that you do make us lie down in green pastures. Thank you, God, that you do lead us by still waters. May our homes be a place like that. May every person listening have a place where the waters are still. And thank you, God, that you restore our souls. Let us see evidence of that flowing into these open hands and these lives in the days ahead, I ask. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. Check out jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.